Wow. I am always amazed every Easter year, and I always make mention of it, I guess, because it just gets me. But so I get here pretty early. I get here about 4:30 in the morning on Easter morning. And every year, and I don't remember on other mornings, maybe it's just because I don't get here that early, but a lot of times I'll get here at, you know, I'll get here at 5 o'clock or something like that most of the time on Sunday morning. And every Easter morning, it seems different because as I'm walking from my truck to the church, every Easter, the birds are just singing like crazy. And I know I say that every year, but it really does happen every year. At 4 o'clock in the morning, the birds are singing like seriously. And it's just an amazing thing. And every time as I'm walking to the church that early and I'm thinking about that, it's just like a hallelujah chorus of the birds singing on this special morning in Easter. So it's pretty cool. I always just appreciate that. Easter is one of those amazing days. This is absolutely probably the anniversary or the birthday or however you want to say it of the most amazing day in history of the world. And every year we come to this point in time, and every year we're looking at the same passages of Scripture, and every year, you know, we're focusing on some aspect of this Easter morning. And I have to say, this week as I was studying, I got stuck. I mean, I literally just got stuck on an idea and a concept that I studied and looked at. And finally, literally this morning, I was like, I don't understand why this has gotten stuck in my head this morning. But it all started when I started reading the gospel accounts of the resurrection. All four of the gospel accounts start, and I never recognized this before, they all four start in the exact same way, almost the exact same way. If you look at Matthew, if you look at Mark, if you look at Luke, if you look at John, if you look at any of the gospel accounts, if you want to know where these are all at, you can look in Mark chapter, or Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, Mark chapter 16, verse 2, Luke chapter 24, verse 1, and John chapter 20, verse 1 as well. Pick a gospel. I don't care which one you want to go to. Pick one of the gospels, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. Pick a gospel. Open it up. Look at it, and all four of them start in the same way. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Mark 16 says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week. Does everyone see that? Kind of see the theme that I'm kind of emphasizing it. In Luke chapter 24, it says this. Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. John chapter 20. If y'all would have turned to one of those, I would have just called on one of you to read it. But John chapter 20. Verse 1 says this: early on the, first, say it with me, first day of the week. So what? It's the first day of the week. I think the reason it really struck me was that everyone seemed to have the same experience. They all went to the tomb thinking it was the first day of the week. And guess what? They were all surprised. They were all shocked. They were all amazed. They were all terrified. They couldn't believe what was going on the first day of the week. And they're like, wow, this is so wild. I don't understand what's happening on the first day of the week. Well, it was the first day of the week. But if they would have gone to the tomb with a different mindset than today is the first day of the week, if they would have gone to the tomb with the mindset today is the third day, their perspective would have been completely different. Their mindset would have been focused in the direction that Jesus was wanting them to focus and realize and understand. You see, from the very beginning, actually before Jesus even came to the earth, God had this amazing plan. And God was foreshadowing this plan in so many different ways. You can look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. You can look at the story of the sacrifice that Abraham was supposed to give of Isaac. You can look at the healings. You can look at people coming back to life. You can look at all these different foreshadowings that God gave to us all the way through the Old Testament that was pointing to this very day, that was giving us a hint, that was hopefully preparing our hearts and our minds to celebrate not the first day of the week, but the third day. You see, the third day was spoken about long before Jesus graced us with his presence. You see, the third day was talked about all the way back to a prophet named Jonah. You guys remember this guy? Jonah, very short book of the Bible. A prophet, actually, I don't know that I would want to be associated with the prophet Jonah, because he was a prophet who spoke for God, but he kind of had a little bit of an attitude when God asked him to go somewhere. Do you guys remember what he did? He started to go the opposite direction. You guys remember this story? Hopefully, if you went to Bible school or went to Sunday school or something, you've heard about Jonah in some way, shape, or form. He went the opposite direction. He got on a ship to go to Tarsus instead of Nineveh, and there was a storm, and the storm raged and raged, and they're trying to figure out why the storm was going on, and it finally came down to God sent a storm so it would get Jonah on the right track, and the men on the ship finally figured out it was because of Jonah they were enduring the storm, and they were losing their cargo and about to lose their lives, and they take Jonah and they throw him overboard. And y'all know what happened. The sea stopped. The waves calmed immediately as soon as Jonah hit the water. And I imagine the guys on the ship were like, wow, that's an amazing God this guy serves. He can calm the seas. Then they see a big fish come and swallow Jonah. Don't say it's a whale. It says it's a big fish. And we find out that Jonah is swallowed by a big fish, and he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Sounds impossible. Never heard of anyone getting swallowed by a fish. I've heard of a lot of people swallowing a fish, but I've never seen anyone get swallowed by a fish whole. And is in there for 3 days and has the presence of the mind to actually pray and worship God while he's in the belly of a fish. Never heard of a guy getting puked out by a fish either. But that's what happened. Jonah was puked out onto the shore of Nineveh. Kind of interesting, if you actually turn to the book of Jonah, it's pretty interesting when he gets puked out onto the shores. It tells us that he went into Nineveh and it took him 3 days. 3 days to be able to see and preach to all of Nineveh. I don't know. I've heard a lot of stories about this Jonah dude. I don't know if any of them are true, because it doesn't necessarily say these things in Scripture. But some people say that people actually listened to Jonah when he came to Nineveh because he looked a little weird. I don't know if that's true or not. I would imagine if I spent 3 days in the belly of a fish and came getting puked out, I would look a little weird too. I bet you I'd smell a little weird. I bet you my appearance and the words that I say might be just a little bit shaky after spending 3 days in the belly of a fish. But for some reason, by the grace of God, Nineveh listened to the message of Jonah, and they repented, and they were saved. So why do I bring up Jonah? This is Easter morning, right? Today's Easter. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, right, Joe? Yes, Jesus, not Jonah, Jesus, not Jonah. What's this three-day thing that you're talking about? Why are we talking about Jonah? You see, God foreshadowed the plan of Jesus through the prophet Jonah. God determined the plan and restated it again through the prophet Hosea. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hosea chapter 6. Wow, that was close. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I got to get there. He prophesizes this. 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. Listen to what it says. And on the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Did you hear that? On the third day, Hosea prophesies, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. He determines a plan, and then he confirms a plan. You see, while Jesus was on the earth, he did miraculous things. I mean, incredible things. He healed. He brought people back from the dead. He walked on water. He calmed the seas. He did all these miraculous signs, and he wasn't doing them in secret. He was doing them in the public so people could see what was going on with his ministry. They could see that he was turning water into wine. They could see that he was providing bread for the people and the fish multiplying. He was doing this in the front of everyone. He was showing them signs and wonders that would blow people's minds. But even with all the signs and wonders that Jesus was doing, he still had skeptics who were coming up to him and saying, show us a sign. Give us some miraculous sign that we may know who you say that you are. And this happened several different times. If you have your Bibles, take a look with me in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. It says this very plain. It says, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And Jesus answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. You hear Jesus? For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He says, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with generation and condemn it, for they repented at their preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of South will rise at judgment at this generation, condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. Take a look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. Happens again. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus another time, and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. When evening comes, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning today, it'll be a stormy, for the sky is red, overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for miraculous signs, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. 3 days. 3 days. I think it's interesting. In John chapter 2, Jesus got done changing water into wine. He goes down from Capernaum to Jerusalem for the Passover. He sees the temple courts. He sees the money changers. And he walks in. He drives out. He actually makes a whip. And he drives out the money changers. He throws them out of the temple. And it's an uproar. I mean, this is not a calm sight. He's turning over tables. He's whipping at things. He's getting the temple cleared out because this is a house of prayer. And people get upset, especially the religious leaders, and they demand of him, what miraculous sign can you show to us to prove your authority? Here they are again. By what power do you drive these men out? By what power do you do these things? Who do you think you are? You need to show us a sign of your authority. And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again, say it with me, in 3 days. Now, it's interesting. Of all the things that Jesus did and all the things that Jesus said, of all the things that they could accuse him of, this is the only time that I can find in the Gospels that Jesus actually said this, okay? Very early in his ministry, probably the very first year. And he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So 3 years later, he stands before the Sanhedrin. He stands before the religious leaders. And they have this trial going on. And they're trying to find some reason to accuse him, some reason to put him to death. And you know what reason they came up with? You know what it finally came down to? This. This was the accusation that made everyone so upset. They found two people to come and make this accusation. He said that he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. That's impossible. But in actuality, Jesus was not talking about the stone and mortar of the temple. The temple he was talking about was what? Was his body. He even explained that to the disciples. He says, you can destroy this, but it will rise again, say it with me, in 3 days. If that wasn't enough, during the last few days of Jesus' life, when he's walking with his disciples, he reiterates this. He tells the disciples in plain, I'd like to say plain English, but he didn't speak plain English, in plain Aramaic. He spoke to his disciples and he said to them at least three different times. If you have your Bibles, once again, look at it with me in Mark. We'll just look at Mark real quick, starting at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Just after Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He's saying this to them very plainly. And be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. They left that place and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. And he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. And again, he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Have you all got this? I mean, I don't know that I can emphasize it much more. Except for one other thing. He told his disciples many different times this was going to happen. And yet, they were surprised. They were shocked. They didn't understand. And yet, his enemies, the ones who persecuted him, the ones who handed him over, the ones who were saying, crucify him, they understood. They knew. As a matter of fact, When Jesus hung on the cross and he died and they placed him in the tomb, the religious leaders came back to Pilate and they said, hey, we've got a problem. This guy said, in 3 days, if you don't believe me, I can give you the passage. In 3 days, this guy said, in 3 days, he's going to rise from the dead, and we don't want anything to make that come true, so we want you to post a guard so the disciples cannot come steal this body. They knew. 3 days. If you look at the account of when Jesus was going to the cross and he was walking there, and as he was hanging on the cross, the people, it says, spit on him and jeered at him. And they said, hey, you who said you would rise in 3 days, come down from the cross. But we have Easter morning. And it's the first day of the week. Surprise! Do you realize in all the gospel accounts, when it finally dawns for the first time, when the first disciple finally makes mention, finally acknowledges it, that it's the third day, is on the road to Emmaus. This is the first time that they even have a clue that it's the third day. They're on the road to Emmaus. They're walking with this guy. They have no idea who he is. They're trying to explain the events of the day, and they're trying to say, this is a crazy day, and who are you that you don't know about the events of this day? Literally speaking to Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they finally, one of the disciples says, you know what? It's a crazy thing. Today's the third day. He finally says that today's the third day. And the ladies went down to the tomb and he wasn't there. I'm sorry, but I have to laugh. It doesn't say anything about it, but I could just see Jesus going, aha, aha, you're getting it. He appears to them. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side. And finally, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus is with his disciples. While they're still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. This is verse 36 of Luke chapter 24. And he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And they were startled and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have something here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture, and he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. It's the third day. He has risen. And this day changes our lives. This day, the third day, he lives. And he gives us hope. And he gives us a future. And it's a part of his plan. For he is risen. He is risen indeed.